This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
So we're just giving a random company a bunch of free compute power on our network?
It's some company called Eklo, and apparently they're a bigger deal than we are.
As in Eklo Labs, the AI company?
Yeah, I guess.
And you said yes.
I didn't really have a choice. Besides, I'm the only one who has the security privileges necessary to add or delete developers, okay? So I'm the one who has to go over there and do all the work.
I'm not worried about work. I'm worried about robots.
AI overlords might be a stretch of the imagination for now, but in 2018, we have seen, or at least me personally have seen, major breakthroughs, increasing competition, growing business adoption, and rising concerns about AI's lack of transparency. With me today to talk about this progress is...
Hi Jeff, I'm Freddie Lee from IBM Malaysia. I am the Chief Technology Officer of IBM Malaysia. And I'm kind of like the ambassador for AI and blockchain technologies in Malaysia.
Which is what we're talking about today, because the title of the show is, you know, All Hail AI Overlords in 2019. The reason why, you know, I decided to put that as the title of the show is because we've seen a lot of advancements in 2018 in artificial intelligence and machine learning as well. Mm-hmm. But what caught my attention was in the release that you made, in the press release that you made as well, there's a review, the AI Year in Review. And the term machine learning actually was, you know, coined way back in 1956-57. So our perception of, you know, AI and machine learning, this is a new thing. It's actually been around as old as Malaysia has been around for.
That's true, Jeff. Yeah, so IBM's involvement in AI was since it's, you know, the inception of AI. As you know, AI, the field, officially started in 1956 from the famous Dartmouth workshop. And we were involved then, and a bunch of scientists and IBM scientists as well was working together in the field of AI. And that's when the team led by, you know, Arthur Samuel coined the term machine learning. And in fact, when I was in uni back in the 80s, showing my age now, we had a topic or a subject called artificial intelligence, where we learned how to program in languages like Prolog and Lisp. And back then, it was just a very simple thing, like getting a mechanical arm to move from one place to another place. And that was it. And that was called AI.
Wow. Yeah. And now AI and artificial intelligence, machine learning is doing all kinds of things, from, you know, getting your style and your fashion orders to your food orders to, you know, your industry 4.0 and, you know, having a car that drive by itself and stuff. From the report, the IBM research, what else are we seeing in this space? Looking at your IBM research report here.
So we're seeing things like automation is probably one of the fastest growing area in the field of AI. Mm-hmm. Things that are repetitive, mundane, low level, can be quote unquote outsourced to a machine to handle, and more efficiently, might I add, because machine doesn't need to eat or sleep. You know, it can work 24/7. You know why not? And it can ingest and do a lot of work a lot quicker than human beings can. Machine does not tire, so therefore it's not prone to fatigue and making mistakes and so on and so forth. So things like, you know, robotics process automation is one natural field where the AI fits in perfectly.
In today's world, we see AI a lot more as in a narrow AI. When we really talk about, you know, what artificial intelligence can do, we hear this term that it's only in a narrow AI form. What exactly is narrow AI here?
Okay, so narrow AI refers to how we train a machine or an AI machine for a very specific job. So, for example, if a machine is trained to understand the field of, let's say, oncology, okay? So a narrow AI would be, I'm training the machine just for to do at maybe breast cancer. So it's very, very specialized in that area. And if you ask anything that is outside of breast cancer, it will not know what it is. But we're seeing broad AI gaining a lot of momentum.
And what is this broad AI?
So broad AI is this, like, this general AI. So earlier this year, IBM released a project called Project Debater. And in this project debater, a machine debates with a human being on any topic.
Wow.
So last year, if you were to ask me in the show, you know, where do you see AI moving towards? I would just say narrow AI. But what this project has done is really opened my eyes into the possibility of a general or a broad AI, that a machine can be taught to do a lot of things. So this project debater was probably a rip-roaring success, because when it pitted against human beings, it actually did beat someone once. So it lost once and won once.
Wow.
So, yeah. So
and that's just the beginning.
That's just the beginning. That's an incredible feat, right?
What are we trying to achieve with broad AI?
So I guess, in my opinion, is like, once we can show that this broad kind of AI can exist and we can really train a machine to understand a much broader scale, the application is limitless, right? Today, for example, if you look at in the area of help desk, we're training it in a very narrow sense, right? We train it as an agent assist or an agentless virtual help desk to answer very specific and very narrow field of questions. For example, it could be in the area of how do I get my Astro to work, for example. But in the broader scheme of things, if you can train a machine to do a lot of stuff, aside from getting your Astro to work or your PC to work, you can look at things like, you know, how do I then start to stream content from other media sources? How do I look at ways that I can make payment, do shopping online through the TV or through the PC? I think you can also start to add on other stuff into this corpus that you're training it for, and it can basically be a general question and answer machine.
But training artificial intelligence has been a challenge as well. Have we seen different methods of training AI as well throughout the year?
Yes, and one of the challenges we have today is the industry might term as bias AI.
Right?
So you've heard of the term bias AI. So the biggest problem we have right now is, based on the current data sets that we have, if we train it using a biased set of data, guess what? The AI would be biased, right? For example, like if you were to train a machine to recognize potential terrorists based on the sets of mugshots or photo shots of terrorists that we have today, it might skew towards a certain, you know, race or gender and so on and so forth. So what we're doing in this area is that we're working together with the likes of MIT to see how we can make AI unbiased by training machines about human values and so on and so forth.
How would one go about making something unbiased? Because a lot of people will argue that, you know, for us as a human being, we would have a certain biasness to some degree, no matter where we stand, right? How would an AI, which is taught by humans at the end of the day, become unbiased?
Good question, Jeff. But what I can answer you today is that they've already, from that project, right, together with MIT, they've already identified 11 areas which are already biased, and they can make that 11 data sets unbiased. Mm. So I think it's a question of looking at areas where I think this is biased, and then how do I make this unbiased? So it's like in today's world, if you were in the data mart or the data warehouse world, it's about cleansing the data, transforming the data, so that when you feed it into the AI system, the data itself, to begin with, is not biased.
Mm. Now, looking at the report, there are three areas that it kind of split when we talk about AI. It's advancing AI, trusting AI, and scaling AI. I guess we start with the first one, you know, advances in AI that we've seen in 2018. What else have we seen that really has pushed the needle forward, that people are accepting, you know, more acceptive of AI into their business and into the field of their work as well, instead of saying that, you know what, this conversation of AI is going to take over my job, you know, it's kind of died down, you know, in some ways now.
Well, that's good to hear, Jeff.
at least from my perspective.
Yeah.
I've been to too many tech conferences. Maybe I'm biased on one end of the scale here.
Okay. So what advances have we made since 56, right? If you look at today, In the consumer space, I think one of the most obvious advancements is like driverless cars.
Yeah.
Even our new Proton X70, a car that can talk back to you, right? That takes voice commands. Interactive bots at call centers and cafes or help desk. But in the IBM world, we've had clients adopt AI across the board. It may not be necessary on the front end like a call center or a help desk. It could be at the back end, like, for example, in the healthcare area, we have KPJ and Bumrungrad Hospital looking at AI for oncology. Banking, obviously. In the area of automotive, we look at AI to see how we can make cars run more efficiently, maybe more fuel efficient, maybe less carbon footprint, so on and so forth. Even in retail, we're looking at AI to see how we can make our online shopping more personalized.
I'm speaking to Freddie Lee, the CTO of IBM Malaysia, talking about artificial intelligence progress in 2018. And when we come back in just a moment, we'll talk about the biasness in AI and how to eliminate them. BFM 89.9.
AI is starting to operate on levels we don't even understand.
Elon Musk himself gives humanity a 5% shot at surviving AI, and he is a Walt Disney-level optimist.
Most of the movies and TV featuring AI, they don't describe it in quite the way it's likely to actually take place. But I think you just have to consider, like, even in the benign scenario where AI, if AI is much smarter than a person, what do we do?
Yeah.
What is that? What job do we have?
Boleh for Malaysia. Ha. BFM 89.9, the business station.
If the rise of an all-powerful artificial intelligence is inevitable, well, it stands to reason that when they take power, our digital overlords will punish those of us who did not help them get there. Ergo, I would like to be a helpful idiot.
Jeff Sandu here, and with me today is Freddie Lee, the CTO of IBM Malaysia, talking about the progress AI has made in 2018. One area that we seem to have an issue with is a little bit of an oxymoron kind of question, but can we trust AI? And how do we go about this, Freddie?
So the lack of trust stems from we don't understand how the machine or the AI came about with the recommendation or the answer, right?
It's a black box.
It's a black box, right? So the first thing that we need to do is to work towards a transparent AI, and as well as to reduce our biasness in AI systems. So unless we know what AI is doing with our data and why and how it makes those decisions, we won't be able to trust it, especially when it concerns our personal lives, right? It's quite scary. So building trust in AI actually goes beyond you and I, Jeff. Mm. So organizations like even BFM would also gain from openness, which exposes biasness in data or even algorithms. So the key here is the ability to show how the system came to that conclusion and why it came to that conclusion is how we can get people to trust in AI more and more.
And then we get to understand the thinking and the thought process, because there is a fear when, you know, an AI teaches another AI, you have these, you know, neural networks, these deep learning algorithms, there will come a point in time where they would operate and think and make a decision faster than we could even just, you know, understand the beginning itself. And that's the worry that we will have.
Yeah, right? So the idea is to strip away the black box concept and make it transparent. So make it more like a glass box, you know, if you will. Mm. Help us to understand how AI came to that conclusion. Mm. So once you can see that, then it makes it more trustable.
And despite all of the advancements that we've seen in 2018 in artificial intelligence since 1956, you know, it's still a very small percentage of real use cases, or at least enterprises adopting artificial intelligence, because scaling is a problem. It's expensive. Mm-hmm. It takes a lot of computing power to get artificial intelligence right as well. What are we seeing in terms of scaling AI from the report?
Well, one of the ways is through quantum computing.
Wow.
Right? So how does quantum help? Well,
that's another black box area in a way, quantum computing, right?
Yeah. So the core element of quantum algorithms is actually the exploitation of exponentially large quantum state spaces. Mm-hmm. And then as the complexity of AI problem grows, you need something like quantum computing to be able to keep up with that. So with thousands of organizations already accessing the IBM cloud, quantum computing, I think we'll see more and more skills being built around that area as well. So we've made quantum computing consumable through the cloud. We've made that available to a lot of academics as well as research houses. And one day, hopefully, we'll be able to build a solid skills around the area and therefore advance even more in terms of scaling the AI.
Mm. Is cost something that still deters a lot of people to, you know, try out and do research on artificial intelligence?
Well, if you had to build a system from scratch, obviously, there's this cost component. But what we've done is we've democratized the way we consume AI. So we've made it available on the cloud in a very secure way for you to consume. So we decompose them into microservices, which you can then infuse them into your applications. For example, like simple things like if I want to make my application be voice activated, then I can use a simple thing like speech to text microservice that will help me to convert my speech, my audio speech into text, which a machine can understand, and then execute the command.
Mm.
Right.
How far away are we from artificial general intelligence, AGI, which is, you know, some things that we see in the movies, the Skynets, you know, in Terminator, the Matrix in the Matrix itself. How far away are we from that kind of, you know, machine dominating mankind?
Well, I'm going to stick my neck out and say it's way, way, way off in the future. Probably not. I don't know. Maybe not in my lifetime, but certainly I could be proven wrong. But in IBM, we have this corporate responsibility to use AI for good. So, which is why you always hear the term AI for good, because like anything else, anything can be used for good or bad, right? So the key is not to get to the place where we have the Skynet or like, you know, Terminator kind of era, but we're using AI to complement what we do as human beings. So man and machine, not man versus machine.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I like to say.
And it's saving lives as well, because it's being adopted in the healthcare
Absolutely.
System and stuff like that, right?
Yeah.
So we won't be, you know, worshipping AI overlords in 2019, but yeah. It may be a norm in the sense that it may be working with us. And it's a way of working where we may not even feel it. It may be in the background. That's where probably artificial will really excel.
Correct.
So what are you seeing in 2019? What do you foresee happening in 2019 in the space of artificial intelligence?
I think we'll start to see services getting more personalized. People will start to understand data a lot better, putting context around it. And when you have those insight, then you're able to then start to personalize a lot more services, like be it retail or, you know, banking or just about anything, right?
Mm.
So I foresee that in the next 2 to 3 years, that's going to be the hyper-personalization field is going to be something that's very, very hot. A huge adoption in robotics process automation. So things that are repetitive and mundane, you know, let the machine handle it with ease. And perhaps a curation of even videos and multimedia could be handled by AI as well. We've started that in the Tennis Grand Slam series, whereby we're using AI to curate highlights of the day, right? So getting AI to recognize moments which are of interest. It could be picking up things like, you know, the roar of the crowd, a lot of applause, and then pick up those segments and then just automate those stuff.
Right? Mm. Yeah. And automation was really a buzzword in 2018. Mm. How for some organizations, do they still struggle with this? And for them who are listening to this, they, you know, I get it. I know artificial intelligence will bring benefit to me, but I don't know where to start. How do we solve this issue?
Well, you can engage in a consultancy study, first and foremost, or, you know, a free one to start with.
But do they need like a team, like an artificial intelligence team, or, you know, a security or a technology group that really understands this to fully implement this? Or, you know, can any kind of startups, enterprises, no matter right. where your skills of technology?
Well, there are a few ways you can start, right? You can, for example, if you don't have any of those that you've just mentioned, you can then entirely outsource that to, you know, the likes of us, to do a turnkey project for you. And then whilst we're doing that, we can always build a team around it. And if you feel that it's time for you to maybe take over the operations, you can always, then we will help you build that team, get the resources together, and implement good practices, governance, and so on and so forth to have a solid DevOps environment.
And for those who are in, want to start this journey, are there misconceptions of what AI can actually do for your business here? It's not a silver bullet at the end of the day, right?
Absolutely. One of the things that is overlooked is the training of AI, right? A lot of times people think that it's like the old school where, we embark on a project, we'll get it right first time. It's not that way. So with AI, you need to spend a lot of time training it until it gets to a point where it's accurate enough to be of use to you. Having said that, the compute power today is a lot more powerful now, and we've seen training times getting shorter and shorter each time. But again, I cannot stress enough the amount of attention needed to actually train the AI for your use.
It's like having a kid.
Absolutely.
It's a lot of planning involved here for artificial intelligence.
You got it, Jeff.
Yeah. Freddie, it's been a pleasure speaking to you. And hopefully, next year when we do bring you back in, we are not worshipping AI overlords.
I certainly hope so too.
Because then we will all be out of jobs and this conversation will be in one of those tape archives then. Freddie, it's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks for having me in the studio, Jeff.
And I've been speaking to Freddie Lee, the CTO of IBM Malaysia, talking about AI, our overlords. Maybe not in 2019, but possibly in the future. This has been Tech Talk, and if you missed any parts of the show, you can download the podcast. It's available on the BFM website, or better yet, get the BFM app. And you've been listening to BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.